Thank you for joining us on this lovely afternoon. This is Wild Ginger. This is Wild Craft, the show where we talk about living with the land. And today we are going to talk with the local entomologist, Kevin Huntley, about a specific native species and its symbiotic relationship, and a little bit just about humble insects, right? Yeah, I guess. Well, let me pull up Kevin here and I will take down these tunes for you. Welcome to Wildcraft, Kevin. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm going to turn you up just a little more.
All right.
So thank you again for joining us. I know about, was it 2 months ago? We spoke on a talk show on a Friday night.
And yeah, something like that.
Had a great time doing that and talked. What were you talking about? Just like the insect apocalypse in general and how insect decline is affecting our whole planet, unfortunately.
Yeah, something we're all going through in general.
It's a bummer. So today we'll talk a little bit about what we can do to support our evening insects and keep them safe. But first, let's talk a little bit about you first, Kevin. So tell us what you do for a living and what you've been up to lately.
All right. Well, I got to tell you that this has been the best year of my life. I'm living my dream. I'm just the bug kid grown up. That's it. I grew up, but I did not grow out of it.
Awesome.
And this year, I found a way to pursue that and educate people on insects and do exactly what I'm doing right now.
Awesome. Yeah, so thanks for coming back on K-Mud. Last time you came in studio and brought some insects with to check out, we were all impressed and had a ton of fun with that. And today, if anyone else could see you on the Zoom call, they'd see you're surrounded by butterflies. It's super cool.
Yeah, this is some of my favorite species from around the world I have collected here, but I've also collected the largest, most comprehensive collection of Humboldt species of insects, and I like showing that even better.
Pretty impressive. You have more Humboldt County insect species than the
South Operations Center and the university. Yeah, they both have been asking for my help. The university studied my bumblebees, and I'm just happy to be contributing to our community out here.
That's wonderful. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us today. Today I asked you specifically to talk about the ceanothus moth because I just think it's such a special, unique species in our community. Sometimes it's also called the redwood moth. Am I right?
Yeah. When I moved to Humboldt County, I've known this moth, but I've heard a lot of the locals call it a redwood moth, which I can understand. I think it's a little bit of a flagship species. You know, people want to kind of, it's one of our most beautiful species. So I can see why people would want to hold on to it and kind of attribute it to our area.
If folks have never seen a ceanothus or a redwood moth, can you give them a description? Because they only come out at night, so not everybody gets to see them.
Absolutely. So these are magnificent moths. It would be tough to miss them if they were by. They can get in between 3.5 to 5 inches large.
Wow.
There's only one other moth species in this area that gets a little bit larger, but I think this one's definitely our most vivid and colorful. They're the color of a redwood tree, which is why people might associate that name, redwood moth. They have a burgundy, red-brown coloration to it. They have white spots on their forewings and hind wings. And they have two eye spots, very small, on the top of the ends of their forewings.
Which I'm going to go on a limb and guess that they use to distract predators, right?
To intimidate predators, okay. Potential predators,
okay.
Yes.
Cool. I love that. So if a predator came upon this moth, would they find it like disgusting and spit it out? Is that part of the reason it has those eyes on it too?
You know what? No. Oh. This one doesn't have too much toxin in its body. It could be preyed upon very easily. It is playing the size game. It's trying to intimidate and make itself appear to be a larger organism that other predators don't exactly think is an easy target.
Gotcha. Very good idea. So it doesn't eat redwood. It's just called that because of the coloration.
Yeah, well, the locals here call it that. I haven't heard it outside of Humboldt County, but yeah, it's the coloration.
Okay, yeah. So it's a locals thing. So it's called a ceanothus moth because that is what it eats, correct?
Yes, indeed. That's why it's important to know the correct name of this organism, because if you want to see more of them, you got to plant the correct host species, which is my favorite game.
Yeah, so
Find out
cool.
what the host species is, and then you'll find your target. You can even plant ho native host species plants and invite them into your world.
Super cool. So a ceanothus plant is kind of like, I'm actually going to talk about it with an herbal specialist next week about what you can do as a human with ceanothus. So I thought we'd finish out the year tidying everything up. So next week's Wildcraft will be about this host plant, and this week is about the symbiotic relationship it has with this moth. So just to give people a quick rundown, a ceanothus can have, it's a powdery blue flower most of the time, but am I right that sometimes it's white?
I just know that the most common species we have in Humboldt County is called a blue blossom
Okay.
ceanothus. It kind of looks like a tree bush-ish,
Yeah.
and it has clusters of very small blue flowers all over it.
Yeah, so if you're super local, there's a bajillion of them on the hill behind the Shelter Cove store in the spring that go off, and it's just gorgeous. They smell so good, and you can see them from super far away. They're just really beautiful. So I have an inkling that maybe this moth is plentiful over there at night.
Yeah,
So.
I've had lots of leads as to where you could find the highest populations. A lot of folks around Willow Creek,
Oh, cool.
and then there's Albee Creek Campground in Humboldt Redwood State Park,
Oh, good to
and in
know.
Redway, you actually have a location, John B. Dewitt Redwoods Estate and Natural Reserve. I just saw quite a few observations of them there.
Oh, wonderful. Cool. So do you go out at night with a flashlight, or how do you find them?
Oh, absolutely. So understanding how to find a target species is understanding what you're looking for. And when it comes to moths, they use light for navigation using three eyes in the back of their head. Now,
What?
my mother has eyes in the back of her head. I couldn't get away with anything. Insects have three of them. And it's like having a cell phone glued to the back of your head. They're using the sun and the moon and the stars for navigation. They're hooked into the universe. So, and they use high frequency light because that's what's being projected off of the sun and the moon. So we can manipulate that to our advantage if whatever you're seeking is. If you want to find them at night, you just cast a high frequency light onto typically a white sheet, and that will distort their orientation because not only do they use light for navigation, they use it for orientation. So light always means up and dark always means down. And typically, it's supposed to be that the moon is the brightest source of light at night. So if we cast a brighter light out, broadcast a lighter light out, we kind of jam their navigation, so they'll get stuck being attracted to that light. If you watch a video of a moth circling a light at night, you will see that the oculi that we're discussing in the back of their heads is always facing that light source. So if you see a moth circling a light at night, its oculi always pointing towards the light, it believes that it's flying in a straight line.
Oh,
And
man.
because of that, it's lost, and
Yeah.
it believes that it's flying in a straight line. It'll do that until it's exhausted. And that is where the white sheet comes into play. If you allow it a sheet to cling onto because it's tired, it'll stay around that light. And we can very humanely observe that and see what is in our skies at night.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. We're just observing. We're not, I guess maybe most people probably know this, but I just have to throw out there that any insect that you have or that any university has, they're always insects that have already passed. We're not going out trying to murder bugs. right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Correct. Insects.
I said bugs. Whoops.
Yes, true bugs are a subcategory of insects. Most people, when you say bugs, you truly mean insect.
Yeah.
In order to be a true bug, you need a couple more things, but I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we could go on forever about that. I won't get off track. I was just learning something really interesting about daddy long legs, but that's for another day. So today we're talking about ceanothus moth. So the best thing we can do to protect a moth like this is to allow it dark nights so that it isn't always flying in a circle. Can you tell us more about the lighting and what's the best way to keep them safe?
Yes, absolutely. So if you want to be insect friendly, or if you just don't want them to fly in your front door, you can change the light bulbs that you are projecting outside to a low frequency light because they are less attracted to that. So if your porch light makes your eyes squint, kind of like you're in Winco, gives you a little bit of a headache.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that insects love, you know, or not love, but that's what'll really get them distorted.
Okay.
If you just switch to a low frequency light, you won't see them as much.
So what are some good colors? If you say low frequency, what kind of bulb am I looking for at this store? Is there like a better color or a better like volt? What am I looking for?
Yeah, they're it'll be down into the reds and the oranges is a low frequency light. High frequency lights are the ones that are really white or blue.
Okay.
The most attracted light insects use, or the light they're most attracted to, would be ultraviolet.
Okay.
Which is why if you have a bug zapper, they use a black light surrounded by an electrified mesh.
So if you have a bug zapper up, you're literally bringing the bugs to you just to murder them.
Yes, exactly.
Not really.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Not that I'm judging everybody, but I'm kind of judging. Please stop using purple lights outside to attract insects and kill them. If you don't want bugs to come to you, don't put that color light out. I had a coworker just jump in the studio and tell me, it was Dennis actually, just jumped in and said, hey, a lot of the hardware stores around here sell bug-friendly green lights that you can put up that still provide nice light at night, but insects aren't attracted. So that's cool. Ooh, yeah.
Interesting. I haven't heard of the green light.
I know. I'm going to go look for that now. That's super cool. So if you have like green Christmas lights up right now, way to go.
Yeah, there you go.
That's super cool. Is there anything else specifically about that moth? Like, we were going to talk a little bit about range, I think. Is there something about ceanothus moth that you wanted to tell me about range?
Ooh, okay. So this is a West Coast species. It has a little bit of a broad range. It's found throughout California, down as far south as Baja.
Oh.
And it goes all the way up into British Columbia, which is in Canada. But it's found in mountainous areas. It's
okay.
Not observed very often in our Central Valley.
Interesting. I've definitely seen it in Mount Shasta. So that makes sense for the mountainous region. And I've seen it at my own house, which is closer to the ocean, but we do have ceanothus. So I feel like that's why, maybe.
Yeah. And you want to look at the edges of woodlands, especially when it comes to redwood forests.
Okay.
Because in the heart of redwood forest, the redwood tree tends to dominate and you have less diversity. Redwood trees are fairly insect resistant plants.
Hmm.
So whenever I am out observing insects, I look for the edges of forests where more broadleaf species have a chance, and along waterways. So that kind of coalesces with our rivers that we have. It's a great excuse to take a stroll by the river.
Oh, that sounds really magical. Very cool. A river edge at night with a flashlight and a sheet can help us find
these. Yeah, that's it. Cool. Anybody can do it. It's great.
Cool. And then after these insects have been on the sheet for a while, they kind of just like get their strength back and fly away?
Yeah, you have to shut the light off, of course.
Okay, yeah.
And they will naturally reorient and fly off.
Very cool. Wow, Kevin, this is so fun. I wish we could just spend the whole time talking. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about this moth or anything else you wanted to tell us about the lights that we use to attract or not attract insects?
Okay. Well, the one additional detail about lights at night is that you don't want to project light up into the sky because, as I discussed earlier, they use that for their orientation, and light is supposed to mean up. And
Okay.
if you reverse that, they tend to fall out of the sky, which means places like Las Vegas truly live up to their name, being Sin City.
Oh.
That's getting everything confused. So the best kind of lighting you can have is if there is some sort of cover over the top,
Okay.
so that light is projecting down directly below it and highlighting just the area that you're trying to see.
Great. And then when we don't need the light, it's best to turn it off and not even leave it on overnight. Unless it's like
Always,
a
yeah.
low, like a green light or some kind of.
Because the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to attract spiders. Because spiders tend to know, they see this traffic around the light happening, and they want to get, that's a buffet for them.
Oh,
So
man.
you'll see a lot of those spider webbings happening around those lights. That's also an indicator that you have a light that's attracting insects, is if spiders start making their webs around it.
Wow, that is so interesting. So, if you don't want spiders at your front door, if you don't love bugs flying in your face when you walk out the door, don't have those bright lights on at night or turn them off as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or use the correct frequency of, or you got those low frequency lights, help. If you need to see, there's a way to meet in the middle there.
Cool. Yeah, some people just want a light on at night. It just feels safer for people to have a light on at the door, but just not the brightest light you can find. Or and
Yeah.
if you feel like you need a real bright light, at least cover the top of it with some kind of casing over the
Yeah.
top. Okay.
Make sure that light is projecting down and not up. And once again, you'll see on the box of your bulbs there will be a range, and they'll say it's a warm color is the colors you want
Okay.
if you want to not have insects fly into your house. Okay, so once again, the reds and the oranges, I think those are around like 5,000, I
Kilowatt?
forget what
Is
the
it kilowatts? I don't know.
kilowatts,
Okay.
something like that. Yeah, and the brighter colors are around 8,000.
Okay.
So you'll see that on the box.
Cool. Awesome. So Kevin, if people wanted to host you, maybe have you come talk about insects with them. You're doing local schools right now.
Yeah.
What else? What do we do to find you?
Oh man, if there is anything where you want an insect specialist to be a part of your project, your program, your event, right now I'm specializing in school presentations, but I'm not just limited to that. My name's Kevin Huntley, and you can contact me, either leave me a message on my phone, which is 916-753-4111, or you can contact me through email. It's spelled just like my name, Kevin, Kevin, at HuntleyFamily.net. kevin@huntleyfamily.net.
Wonderful. So cool. So congratulations on having more insects than the Cal Poly. That's really impressive.
I'm trying to show our community as much of our community as we can, just sharing what the ecosystem looks like up here.
Well, I love your enthusiasm and I'm so grateful you're a part of our community. Thank you so much for coming in today. And if you think of more insects that you just would love to chat about, keep in touch because I'd love to have you on again. Well, thank you
Oh,
for your time.
of course, of course. There's
Yeah.
always going to be interesting insects to talk about.